Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom, fellow infidels, and welcome to another episode of The Danger Zone here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman, and thank you for joining us today for an unusual show, unusual as far as my shows are concerned. Today, we are going to be talking to two different people, Rabbi Ariel Nachman, who many of our listeners already know. He's been on the show a few times, as well as Richard Ruttenberg, who is a jazz artist. Now, you might ask, what would bring an Orthodox rabbi and a jazz artist together? Obviously, yes, the answer would be music. In this case, it's the Shmona Esrei project. Shmona Esrei would translate to 18, and it's about the benedictions, and there are actually 19, as they'll explain later on in the interview, I'm sure. And what you're listening to right now in the background is number 18, Avodah. But we have got a really exciting show, and I want everybody to look at the notes in the podcast and take notice of the link to go and hear all of the 19 different soundtracks as well as purchase them. And I can't stress that enough because a lot of work went into this. This has been over 5 years in the making. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. And this is, well, I'll just let them explain it because it was a concept of the rabbis. And he brought on board the jazz musician Richard Ruttenberg. And as I said, a lot went into this. There are 19 different soundtracks along with an introduction by the rabbi at the beginning of it. And aside from the introduction, which is all the rabbi's voice, there's also one soundtrack that actually has the rabbi playing the shofar in it. It's overall, the whole thing is very interesting. And regardless of whether or not you're Jewish, really sit back, enjoy this and listen. You're going to learn a little bit about Judaism. If you are Jewish, it's going to take you back to some of your Jewish roots, and you'll understand why the rabbi had this concept, why he wanted to put this 19 benedictions to music. Overall, I think you will enjoy this show. As I said, a little bit different from the regular shows we do around here at The Danger Zone, but definitely, definitely enjoyable. So sit back, listen, enjoy, and we will be right back with the rabbi and Richard right after this.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back. Thank you, everyone, for hanging on through the break. You are listening to Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman. Welcome to The Danger Zone. So today, doing something a little bit different. We are not going to do the usual dread news of terrorism, national security, and what's going on in the world. But instead, we're going to try and lighten it up a little bit, if that's the proper term, and add a little music to our lives. With me today, I have got a voice that's going to be familiar to many of our listeners because he's been on the show before, Rabbi Ariel Nachman. And also joining us is Richard Ruttenberg. And they are going to be talking about the Shmona Esrei project. And rather than my trying to explain it, other than knowing it's about the 18 benedictions, I'm going to let them explain it. So first, let me bring on and say hello to both. Hello, Rabbi, and hello, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning, hello, everybody.
Good afternoon.
That's right. It is morning. Okay. Hello, so Rabbi, tell me, since you came up with this idea, if you could, in a nutshell, explain first what it is and then why you decided that we needed music for it, if you could put that into some type of nutshell.
Well, to put it in a nutshell, we have a set of prayers that is central to every service that we do, the morning, the afternoon, the evening, and even including the extra services that we do on Shabbat and the festivals. That central set of prayers is called the Shmoneh Esrei, which means the 18 benedictions. Well, there's actually 19. But these benedictions were actually written and composed and put together by Ezra the scribe and the men of the great assembly. The reason that they put these prayers together was when the time when they came back to Eretz Israel from Babylonia, there was no temple. So what they did was they decided to put these prayers together to substitute for those sacrifices that would be done daily in the temple so that we can continue to adhere to God's commandments even though we don't have a temple.
Okay, now correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm going to show my ignorance being raised in a Reform Judaism household. The entire scripture can be put to music. Is that not correct?
Yes, it is. But in this case, what this is intended to do is to be a meditation piece as people study the individual prayers.
Right. So the point that I'm getting at is this, from day one till you did this, along with Richard, has never had music before.
No, actually, it does have music. If you have a minion, then the chazan or the cantor can actually, the person who actually sings the prayers. After it is done as a silent prayer, then in the morning and the afternoon service, it's actually repeated by the chazan or the cantor, and there is a trope or a musical notation that goes along with the prayers. However, this is different because the prayers, there is a set way of doing the prayers and there's a set way of the music that goes along with it. However, it really doesn't address the emotion and the depth of each one of the prayers. And that was what we were trying to accomplish.
So was any of the original music used to come up with this music, or is this just something totally new?
Totally new.
Totally new. So, Richard, let me bring you in then. It says here, and I'm looking at the Shmoneh Esrei project online, it says all music written, performed, edited, and mixed by Richard Ruttenberg at Raviv Studios, or pardon me, Raviv Records International. How did you come up with this, Richard? I mean, was this something you did while reading the prayers themselves to give you inspiration? Mm-hmm. I mean, how does one do
no.
this?
No. Well, the rabbi and I have known each other for several years now, and we worked on a couple of different projects together. And for 5 years, he's been asking me to do this project. But I'll tell you the truth, I was very intimidated by it because originally it was 18 songs, but it became 19 songs that I would have to come up with. And that's a daunting task for any composer. And I didn't know if I was even worthy of such a responsibility. So for the longest time, I kept telling him I was afraid of the project. I'm intimidated by this. I'm not a Mozart. I'm not a Mussorgsky. You know, I'm a jazz musician, and I'm a pretty good composer. I've got my own style. And for the longest time, I put him off. But then one of his students in his weekly class convinced me that I should do this. His name is Shlomo Silverman. And so Shlomo actually convinced me that it would be a good thing for me to do. And so when I started writing and recording the music, I'm telling you, it just came to me. It was like the easiest thing. And it took me almost a month to finalize everything. But I'll tell you, it was as if I should have done it all along. It was that easy. And so the music just came to me. The rabbi went through each prayer with me, explained to me what it was about, what the feeling of each prayer was. He had his own ideas, you know, he's very high-minded. He's into, like I said, Mussorgsky and Mozart. But again, I did this predicated on the idea that I'm not one of those kind of guys. But I surprised myself on this, and I'm very proud that that we got this done so quickly, and it's out there now.
So, Rabbi, given the fact that this took you 5 years to get him to do it, and he's just admitted as to how easy it was once he did it, you have to say, I told you so?
I knew he would come around to it eventually. It was just a matter of you have to be patient. You know, they will come around to it when they get around to it.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you go to Israel, for anyone that doesn't know, and I'm assuming it's still the same way as when I first went to Israel back in 1975, the very first word that you learn, if you don't speak any Hebrew at all, the first word they teach you is the word savlanut, which means patience, because you got to wait for everything. So, you know, this too shall happen eventually. But yeah, so that's great. So it is interesting, though, in all seriousness, Richard, that after being so worried about it and him bugging you for 5 years, you put this together. And how long did it take start to finish for all 19 pieces?
Around 3 weeks. And then I had to edit and do the pre-masters and mix everything together. That took another week. And then I sent the entire thing off to my very good friend Joe Berger at Jozilla Studios in Akihabara, Japan. He's a professional sound engineer and guitarist, and he's done over 35,000 live shows. He's a big-time guy, and so he really brought this project to life. I mean, he brought out all the hidden sounds and everything. It's very – he did an excellent job on it. And also I want to give a shout-out to the guy that did the cover art. His name is Stephen A. Mobley, and I grew up with Steve. I've known him since the fourth grade. He does all my album covers, and so they both did a fantastic job. And the rabbi's intro, by the way, when you listen to it on the album, is extremely important and helpful.
Well, I do want to mention for all the listeners, when you're done listening to the show, or if you're listening on computer, when you look at the podcast for this show, you can see the album cover that Richard is referring to. Now, this is mind-boggling in the sense that you managed to do this, 19 different pieces of music, in about 3 weeks, 4 weeks counting editing. There are people who work on music, sheets of music, for, you know, months at a time before they even get a two-minute or a three-minute song done. So it just blows my mind that you managed to do this. Now, I've listened to probably about half of it, have not heard the whole thing. What I did hear, I have to ask, Richard, how much of it is actual done with instruments and how much of it is electronic?
I would have to tell you that I'm a studio musician. I've got all sorts of equipment here. I work off of a what's called an ARP Odyssey keyboard, and then a Korg MIDI controller, and what's known as an Electron Analog 4 keys system. But I also have a custom sound library all my own. So you know, I'm playing all the instruments. I'm actually playing the music. But it does get filtered through, obviously, electronic sound software. It's called Logic Pro 10. That's my studio. And it's all computerized. I have a beautiful Apple computer set up here. I have a nice little studio that I work out of. And, I'm playing all the instruments. And
That is amazing. And it's almost humorous because here we've got this Rabbi Ariel Nachman who comes up with this idea and concept. You put music to it. And somehow, even though it's Shmona Esrei, it's edited and done in a studio in Japan. So,
well, no, it's mastered. It's mastered in Japan because this guy Joe Berger, he flies all over the world, and he's got studios that he's responsible for in several countries. And he spends a lot of time in Japan, so he just happened to be there at the time that I needed to get this done, and so I sent him a zip file, and he was able to master them at this particular studio, which has incredible equipment. You can't even imagine what goes on in this studio in Japan. They have the best equipment in the world, obviously. They're terrific with sound.
Not too many Jewish Japanese people, and as the rabbi knows, I'm going to say this because he's heard this before. I happen to know a Jewish man that is Japanese, my attorney, whose name is Mr. Sasumi. But aside from that, okay, I had to get that joke out there. This is really amazing, but it takes on a whole world concept. Rabbi, how do you feel now that it's done? I mean, you had to be on pins and needles when it was first coming out. But you know what? Save that. Save that for when we come back for break. And you can tell us what your first thoughts were when you heard it. And we'll be right back after this.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back. Thank you, everyone, for hanging on through that short break. You're listening to The Danger Zone right here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman, and with us today we have Rabbi Ariel Nachman and Richard Ruttenberg. Rabbi, you had been bugging Richard for about 5 years to tackle this project. It finally gets done. When he shipped you or sent you through the computer, I'm assuming it was through the computer, the file, to listen to the music for the first time, what were your thoughts? Just tell us how you felt.
Actually, I was quite amazed that after he sent me the files and I listened to the files. This was before Joe had actually mastered them, and I listened to them and I'm going, why did it take him so long to do this in the first place? I mean, this is exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted something that was completely different for these prayers, for these meditation pieces, because these prayers are actually very mystical. And the only way that I could get across what I wanted to get across was to go to Richard and nag him endlessly to actually do this project. And then once I got it back, I was just amazed. I said, "This is you hit it. You're dead on with what I was thinking." And then once it went over to Joe Zilla's studios and it came back, it was just, oh my goodness! It was just so much more bright and so much more vivid. And I said, Richard, what's the problem? What took you so long to do this thing when you can come up with this kind of thing?
Well, now, Rabbi, you, giving you credit where credit is due, because it wasn't just like, I have an idea, go do it. You do the 8-minute introduction in the beginning. But aside from that, you also have yourself a little bit of sound on one of these pieces. Tell us about number 11, Kibbutz Gelot, I guess is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, I actually play the shofar on that, and that is actually my own ram's horn shofar that I actually made myself.
Oh, now I've seen that shofar and I've seen you play it. I've heard you play it. I did not know that you made it.
Yeah, that has an interesting story all by itself, and I won't bother with it now, but it took me 5 years to actually get the nerve up to actually cut into it.
What is it with you guys in 5 years? 5 years for the music, 5 years for a ram's horn?
Well, it's like anything else. It's either it either tastes like chicken or it's approximately the size of New Jersey.
Okay. What's interesting about that song that you mentioned is that particular song is about Jews returning, right, Rabbi?
That's
true. So the shofar blast is a call to Jews around the world to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And so I asked him to send me some shofar blast so I can incorporate those into the actual track. And it just so happens that the key and everything matched what he was doing. And it just, I'm telling you, the whole project just fell into place so easily. I just can't express enough how much pleasure I got out of doing this. It was fantastic from day one.
So
and I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get to the next tracks. But there were 19 of them, and so you know, when I did the first three, I was like, "Oh my God, I got 16 more to go! Holy cow, how am I going to do this?" But just telling you, just it all fell into place. It was incredible.
So tell people while I'm thinking of it, where they can find the music, and this is interesting, and I want you to elaborate a little bit on this, Richard. You and I were talking about this before the show off the air. You know, I can go online to a lot of different artists' sites. And it will allow me, especially with new music that they want to sell, it will allow me to listen to maybe 20 seconds or even a minute of a 4-minute song. But if I want to hear the whole thing, I have to pay for it and download it. The way you did this, people can actually listen to the entire project without paying a penny. Now, obviously, we don't want them to do that because a lot of time and effort went into this. But talk a little bit about why you guys chose to do it that way and where they can find it.
Well, there's a very simple answer to that. You know, I have about 13 or 14 solo albums out there. And I'm part of a couple of transatlantic bands that actually got signed by record labels in England. I'm on Super Freak Records and also Stark Futures Recordings. So I have contracts with them for a couple of albums. But on this one, I decided, along with a couple other albums, to go direct to the public, because what's happening now in the music business is very unfair to artists. So if I put something up on Amazon or iTunes, which is the norm, well, they've got these new streaming services where a person could pay like 99 cents for 3 months, or 99, I think it's for the first 3 months, and then it's $10 a month, and they can listen to anything they want in the entire iTunes catalog for that month without paying anything. So artists aren't earning any money. They're getting pennies, if that, because of these streaming services like Spotify and, again, iTunes and Amazon. So it's just the way the business has changed, and it's just very unfair to musicians like me. So Bandcamp offers the lion's share to the artists, and that's why I chose Bandcamp, even though people can go listen there for free. But when they listen, you can listen the entire way through the album, three separate times if you like. But I'm counting on people to support the arts, because every dime that I make is absolutely, every penny I make goes back into creating future music, because that's all I want to do with my life. I really just want to make music. And believe me, I've paid my dues in life, and I know what it is to make a buck, and it's not easy. I actually lived in Israel for a year. I lived on Kibbutz Revavim, and so I'm very in the Negev. And so I'm very familiar with Israeli music, and I'll tell you, some of the best musicians on the planet are from Israel, like Idan Rachel Project. He's a brilliant, brilliant composer. Mati Kaspi, of course, Ricky Gao. There's a couple of people I've known from my music college that are also living in Tel Aviv. Michael Adler, the guitar player, he's fantastic. So there's a lot of brilliant musicians in Israel, and the music coming out of there is incredible. So I encourage people to purchase music, support the arts, help these artists out. Another great musician from Israel, Aviv Geffen, fantastic musician. So,
well, I'm going to show my age, because of all the names you mentioned, and forgive me to those people that I don't recognize, Mati Kaspi I actually know. He and I met, and I'll tell a very quick story. When I was living on Kibbutz En HaShofet in the mid-late 70s, we would have different artists. The kibbutz would bring in different artists to perform for the kibbutz. And Mati Kaspi was actually one of the artists that came in, and I met him. And when I say I met him, it was brief after his concert where I got to actually just meet him. Years later, and I mean years, it had to be 3-4 years later, I was walking down Rehov Dizengoff Street in Tel Aviv,
of course,
drag, and there's Mati Kaspi walking in the opposite direction towards me. He stops, he looks at me, and this is the God's honest truth. He not only remembered meeting me, he remembered my name. So
wow, how about that?
I don't know what kind of memory he has, but that convinced me right there, okay, this has something to do with his musical abilities, because the man has got a memory. So, yeah, that blew my mind. I'll never forget that.
He's extremely gifted, that guy. He's brilliant, actually. And he plays. He's a multi-instrumentalist, by the way.
Yes, he plays like, what, 11 instruments or something?
Probably more.
It wouldn't surprise
me. He's a genius. Oh, he's one of the best, yeah.
Now, I have to ask, you know, and I'm stuck on this Japan thing, but after listening to the music, you're a jazz artist, as you stated, Richard. It reminded me, and I don't want to ruin it for people that haven't heard it, and I could be way off base here anyway, but it reminded me a lot of what is called pan flute music. It's just that real mellow, quiet, something you would hear when you're, you know, if you go to a massage therapist and they put on that music. Was that something that you tried to do, or am I just totally hearing it wrong?
You're way off base, my friend. No, actually, some of my custom sound library, you'll hear some gongs in there. So, yeah, there's some Asian influence in there in the music, definitely. And so, yeah, you definitely picked up on something. A tiny little thread of that influence is definitely in the music, for sure. So, yeah, that's very astute of you, actually.
Well, I'm glad that you backpedaled on that, because in the beginning, I totally was blind, and then I ended up being astute. I love it. All right, this man very definitely astute. Wants to sell some of this stuff and be on the show again. Rabbi, tell me. I appreciate that, Richard. I mean, that's what I came away from. I was expecting, and this is a good way of putting it, I was expecting more of a, I don't even know what genre to call it. It more of a Israeli music, you know, I'm going to turn it on and it's going to have the clarinets and it's going to be a hora. And it just wasn't anything like what I was expecting. I mean, it was really totally different. I urge everybody to go. I'm going to put a link in the podcast at the site where everybody can go. Is it rdruttenberg.bandcamp.com where they can find this?
Actually, the entire link is https://rdruttenberg.bandcamp.com/album/ShimonaEsrae-. I'm sorry, I screwed that up.
Shimona-Esrae-project.
Right.
That's a long way to get there, but then again, you know, the internet has billions and billions of sites.
But the easiest way to do it is just to go to bandcamp.com. And type in Shimona Esrae Project.
All right. So being that we're transliterating, the word Shimona is spelled S-H-E-M-O-N-E-H. But as I said, I'm going to put the link in the notes of the show so everybody can go there. And I really, really urge everybody to go and listen. And when we come back, I want to get a whole idea about the way it flows, you know, the whole benediction and the whole idea of how it was put together. So stick around and we'll be back with the last segment right after this.
I'm John O'Vandor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
We're going to be talking about...
What are we going to talk about?
A person who takes out a terrorist with a pizza tray.
And there's Donald Trump talking to a turkey. What's that about?
A 71-year-old rock star is a staunch supporter of Israel.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind,
every Thursday.
We are back, and you're listening to The Danger Zone right here on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman, and I am joined today by Rabbi Ariel Nachman and Richard Ruttenberg. And I guess the joke is a rabbi and a jazz musician walk into a bar. I wanted to ask Rabbi, you know, about the benediction itself. How is it laid out that, you know, each one of these is for a specific benediction? If you read it, does the music flow so that when you're done reading the one benediction, it goes to the next? Or how's that set up?
Yeah, the album is set up so that it progresses along with the prayers in the order of the prayers of the Shemoneh Esrei. And the reason for that is these are all constructed in a specific order for a specific reason. So the music has to match the order of the prayers. And the whole idea was is that if you are studying the prayers, you need the only way to understand something is to understand the emotion and the depth behind it. And I even talk about this on the introduction. I say, if you want to know, you can read all the history you want. If you want to learn about the War of 1812, the Napoleonic Wars, the retreat from Moscow and all that stuff, you can read it. But you can't really understand the emotion of it from reading it. If you want to understand the emotion of it, you have to listen to Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, the whole thing. Then you get the history and you get the emotion behind it. Now, also to go along with that, if you want a better example, Max Brooks' rendition of the Kol Nidre prayer. If a Jew doesn't go to anything else, he will go to the Kol Nidre service on Yom Kippur.
Right.
That actually sets the tone for the whole day. And if you want to understand the emotion, the depth of that prayer, that service, that's the way to understand it, is to listen to the music. And that's what I wanted to do. So this is a meditation piece. So when you're studying the prayer, you not only want to study what the words are, you want to understand the emotion that goes along with these prayers, because it makes a big difference in how you actually approach the prayers.
All right. Now, Rabbi, since we're talking so much about the prayers and I haven't given you a lot of airtime here today, which is unusual, please let everyone know where they can find you and your synagogue. We've had you on the show before, and I've explained, and I'm going to say it again for our new listeners or newer listeners. You have the world's first, and it's amazing to be able to say that, the world's first online synagogue that you developed for people that may not live nearby a shul or a synagogue, and they can go online and actually go to synagogue. Explain to everybody where they can find that.
You can find the website, very easy. It's Seven Beggars, all spelled out in one word, sevenbeggars.com. If you want to see the classes and stuff like that, you go to YouTube and put in Seven Beggars, and it will take you right to our site where you can see all the classes, you can see Zeta, you can see everything that we do on there.
Well, for those that aren't familiar, Zeta is a lion that is a doll, but don't tell anybody it's a doll because the kids think that he's a real lion, and you got to go online and see it. I'm not even going to attempt to explain Zeta, because that was a whole other show that we did, Rabbi, about Zeta and how he came about. But yeah, so
yeah, seven, yeah, we have to give Zeta a plug in here.
So. We have to give Zeta a plug. We love Zeta. Sometimes we love Zeta more than everybody else on the program, and he sang Happy Birthday for me. So. Yeah, the sevenbeggars.com, and you can yell at me if you want, Rabbi, because I don't get there often enough, so I honestly don't know the answer to the question I'm about to ask. When are you on? Obviously, you're on for Shabbat services, but you're on other days of the week as well doing classes.
Yes, we have a class on Monday night. Most of them are all at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. So we have Zeta Story Corner on Mondays at 8 p.m. We just finished the Shul Study Hall. We were studying. We did a two-year study on the Shulchan Aruch, and we just finished that. So we're on a hiatus on that until we go back for the new session, which will be the Talmud. Wednesday night is the Torah study with myself and my dear friend, Reb Reuven, where we're going through Rashi's commentary on the Torah and doing a very in-depth study on the Torah. On Friday night, we have Kabbalat and Ma'ariv Shabbat service. And then on Shabbat morning at 10 a.m., we have Shacharit and Musaf service. And, of course, we do the festivals and holidays. And before anybody gets the wrong idea, everything is automated. We don't do anything during the broadcast. Everything just happens automatically. So we're not actually breaking halakha or Jewish law to be able to do this for people. And we actually tell people how to be able to watch this and participate in the service without, and still remain halakhic.
No, and I can vouch for that. You actually have a neighbor who's not Jewish who comes in to turn everything on for you before you start. Isn't that right?
That is true. And some of these things are actually programmed in the computer so that they automatically happen. They just automatically happen.
That is phenomenal. If you haven't been to sevenbeggars.com, you got to go over and see it, especially with Zeta and the Monday show. Rabbi, everyone can see your past shows if they want to go back and study something from sevenbeggars.com. They can pull up the podcast, correct?
There's actually a number of links on the website that will take you over to our page on YouTube. And on YouTube, everything is there. Everything that we've done for the last 3 years, I think, has been. But, you know, we have a lot more stuff, but it's kind of spread out all over the place. We've been doing this for 15 years.
Wow. Now, I do want to tell everybody, and I'm just going to, you know, with the couple of minutes that we have remaining, because I got a question for both Richard and Rabbi beforehand, but I want to throw this out there publicly. I used to have a show on Thursday nights on Blog Talk Radio before I joined Israel News Talk Radio, and the Rabbi was there week in and week out, and you know, slowly it was like one day it was like, okay, you're a co-host. I miss those days, Rabbi. I really miss having you to bounce things off of, and the conversations and the shows that we used to do. I just wanted to throw that out there publicly, because it's one thing to look up to somebody, but I really listen and I've learned so much from you over the years. I just wanted to thank you for that on a personal note.
Me too.
Aw, see
yeah,
that?
Well, there's a time where, you know, you just know that it's time to leave because the situation is right. You had another co-host on there with it, and you two had such great chemistry. I said, you know, I don't need to be here anymore. That it's time to bow out.
Well, I miss those shows, and I miss those days. Now, real quick, with about a minute and a half each, and I'm going to throw it to Richard first. Richard, tell me in a minute and a half, if you can, what this whole project, now that it's done and out there and people can listen to it, what did it mean to you?
It was, I felt really, for the first time in my life, that I was able to give something back to my Jewish people. I mean, I've always been a very proud Jew, dating back to when I was a little boy in 1967. I saw a tiny little nation win a 6-day war miraculously, and I was fascinated as to how they could do that. And I became a student of my people, and I've always been like you. I'm a Reformed Jew, but I have strong Zionist feelings and strong Jewish feelings as well. I'm pretty undisciplined. I've been to shul many times in my life. I've returned time and time again, but this was my chance. And to really give something substantive to my people. I mean, I love being Jewish. I don't know. It's just a wonderful thing to live in this world and be the underdog and be part of a people that struggle but succeed, you know, at all costs. And Baruch Hashem, I'm here.
That's awesome.
And I'm with you.
That is awesome. Rabbi, real quick, now that the project that you for 5 years have been wanting to hear it rather than just think about it, what did it mean to you?
It's the beginning. That's all I can say. It's just the beginning. There are more projects. I've got enough to keep Richard busy for the next 10 years. But the whole reason is that we need to understand the prayers. We need to know the emotion that goes along with the prayers, because that is what lifts the prayers up. we have a tendency to go through the prayers by rote and kind of get through them just really quick. We need to slow down. We need to think about these things.
That
was the whole intent.
That is it. We need to slow down and think. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much to both of you for joining us today. Everybody, please go to the podcast on the homepage and pull up that link and listen to this. You will not be disappointed. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gotti. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and we will see everybody next week. Please, I urge you, go and listen to this music. I'll say, you will not be disappointed. We'll see everybody next week.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling from the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.